Hello and welcome to Academy Talk Radio. This is the Ask a Medium radio show. I'm your host, Reverend Ivy Rivera, psychic medium. I'm also the founder of the Ivy League Psychic Academy, where we air tonight, coming to you from Buffalo, New York. We have other Ivy Leagues opening in California, Pennsylvania, and soon to be elsewhere. So stay tuned for that. I designed this radio show in the expectancy that it will reach those of you who are truly ready to receive the knowledge that's being taught here at exactly the right moment, in synchronicity with your spirit, to see a full listing of the classes that are being taught at the school. You can visit IvyLeaguePsychicAcademy.com. And if you want to book a reading with me through Skype, FaceTime, email, or in person, you could do that at IvyRiveraPsychicMedium.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Ivy Rivera. I encourage all listeners worldwide to attend classes here at the school electronically, or in person if you can get out here to us at one of the locations. So join us at the Ivy League Psychic Academy, where we are raising up the next generation of lightworkers.
Hi, my name is Jen Woods, and I'm going to be hosting the show for tonight. As you know, I'm a psychic medium trained by Ivy using the PSC method right here at the Academy. It's kind of cool tonight because you kind of get a triple threat. Tonight for my guests, I have Ivy Rivera, owner of the Ivy League Psychic Academy. She's been spreading the light and healing here in the area for over 20 years. I also have with me Rose Manzella. Rose is a certified psychic medium and a Reiki practitioner. She's also an assistant teacher and will be hosting some upcoming radio shows. How are you guys doing tonight?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. Really excited for tonight. Before we get into tonight's show, I want to just let everybody know about a couple of classes that we have coming up here. Dream class is tomorrow from 7 to 9, right?
Correct.
Right. And you can Skype into that class too, right?
They can Skype in. They can FaceTime in. It's also becoming downloadable tomorrow. So if you can't make it here in person, you will be able to just download the audio after tomorrow night. And we cover astral travel, dream analysis, the difference between different kinds of dreams, what they're trying to tell you.
That was super fun. That was one of my favorite classes, I think.
It's really good.
It's super
fun. I'm excited. I haven't gotten to take it yet, so.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I can't wait.
I'm also super excited about the new class coming up. It's called Everything Elementary. And this is a class for kids ages 6 to 16. And it's going to be December 19th.
I believe so. Yes. It's up on the website.
Okay.
The Everything Elementary is a series of classes designed for youth and children, ranging from 6 to 16 years old. And we're going to do them every month and a half, and the classes are going to run about an hour and a half, and they'll be set up by age groups and different topics based on what the kids can handle and where they are with their development. So the first one that's coming up that you're talking about is called How to Handle Spirit Encounters, or How to Handle Spirit Visits.
That'll be really cool, because I know little kids start out with, hey, right, see dead people.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's it. And what do I do about that?
Yes.
And the parents can't just, sweep it in the closet, act like
right.
It's not happening. Right.
Right. No, so that. And then coming up, we're going to be having walk-in nights here at the Academy.
Yeah.
And those are nights where I think I always post, if we're having a class and you want guinea pigs to come in and you pay a donation, come in and get readings from the students. So it's going to be similar to that setup where you come in, you pay your donation, and then there'll be readers here kind of set up fair style, but then you'll be able to get readings.
It's going to be almost like a weekly psychic fair available for a $10 donation. You can come in, you get your tickets, you rotate around to the different students and get readings. We start that Thursday, this upcoming Thursday at 7 o'clock. Yep. We also have Level 1 Psychic Mediumship Development class beginning in January. So if you are interested in becoming a reader for the Ivy League Psychic Fairs, you can start your training then.
Cool. I can't believe we're talking about January already.
I know, right? It happens.
So tonight, I feel like all of my shows start with some random video that I saw on the internet. And this one is no different. So I watched a video on YouTube. I love Adam Ruins. And then there was an Adam Ruins video about fake psychics. So he kind of goes in And there's this like New Jersey psychic with the big hair and everything. And she's kind of not giving a good reading. So she's kind of getting vague information like, oh, I see a guy with a J name, no, an M name. Is it a P name? And they're like, yeah, that's it. Where Adam's kind of interjecting throughout the whole video like, this is how psychics do it. So this is what we're going to talk about. Super duper excited about that. So
I've never seen that happen.
So that's my first question. Let me just jump right in. Like, do you think there are actually fake psychics out there scamming people?
I think that I don't know if I think there's fake people out there doing it. I think that people end up losing it because they have their ego get in the way, like we talk about in the classes, and then they don't want to know what to do, and then they lie because they don't know what to do, but they don't want to stop giving readings. But they lose the ability when they let their ego get involved and they think they're like the best, you know, and the spirit doesn't want to work with them.
I would agree with that 100%. I would say that there's a big difference between street psychics and mediumship. And the difference there is spirit intervention. So spirits are only going to be willing to work with, I want to say, psychic mediums that are sticking to a strong moral code and an ethical conduct. Now, there are many spirits out there in the universe. So you have your spirits that are in the light that should be the ones being directed to give any kind of guidance. Then you have darker or low energy level spirits. So if someone has allowed their ego to get too big, they've gone, let's say, dark, and maybe they were at one point able to channel spirits in the light, it could absolutely become a situation where they're cut off. So it's not to say that they would just become then a street psychic at that point. They might just be a street psychic who could then use fraudulent tricks that they learned over time to make it look like they were still channeling. But the other more scary option is that they could be channeling darker spirits, lower energy spirits. And there are some key ways to tell if that's going on also.
And I want to also say, you might think that a psychic is fake because they give you a lot of symbols when you're talking to them, and you're like, I don't even understand what you're saying. This has got to just be BS. And, but those people aren't trained, and that's what's really important about this, is taking that training so that you can explain what a symbol means and not just that, oh, I see a unicorn. Like, you've got to be able to say, what does that unicorn mean to that person? And that's also taught in the classroom. Really important.
I would love it if my psychic saw a unicorn in my room.
And they do. Just started telling you, Jen. But you have plenty of unicorn friends around you. It happens. Yeah, a lot of people, I would agree, cut off their training, or the trainings out there are insufficient, which is why I designed the method that I designed. You shouldn't just be seeing symbols spitting them out. You know, you should really understand what the message there is. Not to say that you're using your logical left side of your brain and you're manipulating the messages,
right,
but because you understand intuitively what the symbol is. That's a big part of dreams class coming up tomorrow. Symbology is everything in mediumship.
Right. Everything is something. So let's take a pause before I ask another question. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello?
No. No, no caller?
No
caller. Another one?
Yeah. Let's try somebody else. Call back, I'm sorry. Hello, caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Good, I just wanted a reading. You see me getting any job interviews next week?
I just heard three, but I don't know that it's all happening in the same week. I feel a little bit of a transition. I almost want to say the first option, possibly almost running right by you. So it's almost as though there could be a miss in the timing, almost like someone else could potentially be coming in, causing for the potential hire of you to be taken up by someone else. So there. I want to say that even if you're contacted for a couple things, don't put all your eggs in one basket and don't get overexcited. Okay, so there could be a little bit of transition going on with that first option. The second one, I am feeling it come in more toward the middle of the week, but there are some free will options. So even though the employer, a male, younger, brown hair, 40s, maybe 45, I feel him moving closer to you to reach out. I'm also seeing that he could potentially slow down or slack in his job, falling behind a little bit because it isn't crucial to him to fill the position. So that could also be an extended period of time. But, yeah, it feels like you have some stuff coming in. When exactly?
Well, I don't want just little pilly stuff. I'm looking to work either as a school teacher aide or teacher assistant or bus monitor.
Did you apply places?
Of course.
Oh, well, then of course. I'm not talking about little piddly stuff. I'm talking about whatever you applied for. These seem to be callbacks on interviews, potentially. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I applied to little piddly stuff just in case, but I'm trying to see if there's any interviews for either bus monitor, teacher aide, or teacher assistant. I'm subbing now, so I might get a call in the morning to sub, but...
I thought you were teacher assistant. I feel like that is, like, a really good... Like, I feel... Like when she said teacher assistant, I feel like that might be. Yeah, I feel really good about the teacher assistant position.
I feel less towards next week, though, and more like the week after that.
I hope so. I want
that needs to be worked out. But it does feel like it's brewing, feels like it's coming. I just want to say just sit tight. And know that no stone has been left unturned. You have a gentleman coming through here from the other side, a bit of a pot belly on him. And I want to say, dresses nice, tucks his shirt in, takes good care of himself, feels more like a dad energy. And he's saying, look, you know, you did what you could do. So it's almost like, you know, throws his hands up, just relax. You know, it's coming, it's coming. Yeah, soon enough. It feels you settling within a month and a half. It'll be pretty good.
Okay, and I'm going on a blind date.
So
how do you see that going? Because I'm looking for a boyfriend, too.
I'm sorry, we have to move on to the next caller.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Hi, caller, can you hear me? Hello. I think
you
lost that one.
Hello.
Hello. There you are. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
I would.
Did we lose her?
I think we lost her. Okay, I have a question. We are live on Facebook right now, too. So this is super cool. We're trying this out for the first time. So. Give a chance to get the kinks worked out. But there is a question here. It says, what's up with someone speaking in Latin or what sounds like it in their sleep?
Huh. Okay. I will say this. It is not at all uncommon for us to speak in different languages. And if we were to use our imagination a bit and reflect on where we've been, who we've been, okay, in past lives. This is the thing. So many people, we post off to the possibility that maybe we have past lives. This is it. We're here for a minute, and then we cease to exist. That is not it. Energy is only transforming into other energy. And when we die, we tend to go on a brief interval, you know, breaking period, and then we reassign onto new contracts, and then we tend to come back until you're done with the work and the lessons. So when you're speaking in a different language, whether you're a channeler and you do that when you're giving readings, you do it at night, you're connecting to something from your previous lives that makes perfect sense to you in that state, not in your waking logical state. A lot of children do it too when they are still living in a past life. I had 2 out of my 3 kids that were almost stuck for the first anywhere from like 4 to 8 years of their life. And they not only thought as though they were their old soul, they believed that they had work that had to be done. And that's common to understand other languages or even write out in other languages in the written form.
That makes sense. I mean, I've studied Spanish since I was in the 3rd grade, and I am fluent, but like they'll speak in English. But when I'm asleep, I have the best dreams in Spanish ever.
I have a friend that has the same experience. She says she always dreams in the other language.
Yeah, like I dream. And I have like I do a lot of like work with angels in my sleep. So I can write in whatever language it is that they use. Like I'm always doing like scribing, and I can write in that language in my sleep. I can read it, understand it perfectly.
Yeah. I think that language is that thinking that getting confused and stuck on languages is just another wall in society that we have.
Amen to that. And I will say one of the things that we do with the level one, like mediumship development, is I force all the students to have paper and a pen. Because it allows for automatic writing. And when you're allowing yourself to channel a spirit or a message, it could come out in different handwriting. It could come out as pictures and illustrations. You just don't know. And it is absolutely just another
language. We need to let go of these ideas that only we have, you know, about the world just based on what we've learned from our science. Our science doesn't know everything. There's so much our science doesn't know. So stop blocking yourself off from learning more. Because you think we have it all explained.
Mm-hmm. And basically, if you find that at night you or your partner is speaking in other languages, or figure out what those are. Hopefully they can be traced easily. And I take a trip out there.
Yes.
Like, I speak Italian at night. I'm going to Italy because you have possibly unfinished business.
Maybe they're trying to tell you something.
That's right. You're not done yet.
Right. Explore it. Record it. Write it down. It's really good to keep a journal by your bed, too. Because I come to find that when I am dreaming in another language, I'll wake up with like an image and you jot that down really quickly while you're asleep. So I feel like most psychics should be sleeping with a pad of paper and you can grab really easily. So you mentioned street psychics. What's a street psychic?
I refer to street psychics as being someone who's clairvoyant, meaning that they can see the past, the present, the future, and they can give you even incredible accuracy and detail sometimes in the visions that they're having, but they are not technically a light worker. They don't use discernment in what it is that they tell you, and there isn't necessarily a moral code of ethics being followed there. So anything that they see, they'll say to you, and often this is dangerous. Self-fulfilling prophecies, things like this can come about from that. Street psychics are also picking up on human emotion and dynamic events. So that's all it is. And what is the majority of human emotion? Fear-based.
Right. So it's like traumatizing instead of healing.
Negative information if you really analyze the majority of it. Now, because they're also picking up on dramatic events, they could very well be getting some stuff like maybe a wedding, a new job hire or something. So after you leave them, you're like, they gave me some good stuff, but a lot of this was disturbing. Mm-hmm. And they're often also not looking at timeline or free will. So they'll tell you things as though it's going to happen, and that is not the case.
Right. Well, it's like, you're going to get into a car accident on Friday, and now I'm afraid to get in a car.
Yeah. Forever.
Forever.
And it's not accurate, because free will maybe is dictating a lot of those factors, but they don't look into that.
All right, let's take another call before I ask another question. Caller, are you there?
Hello, yep.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Yeah, hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Okay, pretty good, thanks. Researching my past life as a medium in 1833, I found a photo of his first wife. Is she my wife again in this life? And any insight into that?
Is she your wife in this life? Was she this life? Okay.
Right, as well as last lifetime.
Okay, and what is your wife's name in this life?
In this life, Liz.
Okay. So I am feeling that that's very possible. Was it Lucy or something? I'm hearing. So I don't know if in the past there was another life where there was a Lucy, but she follows L names exclusively throughout time. So it also seems, not to get off point, but it also seems that there was a past life where this was your daughter. This was your child?
Yeah.
Is that what you're both thinking about?
Yeah, I thought her.
This was
she was a wife. I was feeling that she was
a child. Yeah.
Yeah.
which could look like, okay, in this life, not to say that she wasn't your wife in a previous life, but this is getting real Dr. Seuss here. We could get interesting with this. but what that means is that there might be in this life some unfinished business between the two of you that actually became like core issues or root issues in the relationship, where she may have been more childlike or you felt the need to take care of her. Do you guys see, though, in that parent-child relationship where it was actually reversed, where she was very mature taking care of the parents?
Yes. It's not
that. Almost like the relationship couldn't mature more. And this is not this 18. This is one life back here.
It seems more recent.
Yeah, it's not like super far. It's just
no.
That's why I don't feel the life more so. It's just I just feel the daughter.
Right.
Yeah. Having a strong energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's also possible that when you were, let's put it this way, that when you were her parents, you may not have been capable of fully taking care of her to the point that you felt you should have, and she may have been almost more the parent role in that situation with a high, high level of maturity and responsibility. So in this life as a couple, you may have felt an overwhelming sense of responsibility to compensate in some way, to take care of her,
mm-hmm.
to pay it back. If
that
makes some sense. But yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You guys have been married before, and you have had, yes, previous.
Absolutely. All right, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening. I have a question. There are definitely naysayers out there. People who say, I don't believe in psychics, this isn't real. Why do they still come? Why do they watch? Why do they tune in? Why do they still book reading?
I think it's just that part of them that can't resist. Yeah, I know. You know, I feel like that's what it is.
They can't deny the truth. Truth is such an overwhelming, powerful energy. It will eat away at you. It will cause you to lose self-control. And even though they are logically fighting and saying, I'm a skeptic.
Right.
Let's remember, too, skeptics are open.
Hey,
okay, I'm a skeptic.
I was a skeptic.
But we're not blockers.
Right.
Blockers
exactly.
are people that are closed-minded. Skeptics
open.
And blockers are two totally different things. That's just ignorance, and you decided to stay there.
Exactly.
But, yeah, true skeptics, you know, they're going to be pulled. Even though the logical part of their brain says one thing, the truth is that this is very real and tangible, and they want to experience it. They're starving for it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a bad reading?
Have I received a bad reading?
Yes, like I've ever received one.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I've received many horrible readings.
Me too.
I have. The best ones I've ever had have been at the Academy, and I've said that multiple times.
It's been right there.
So what made it bad for you?
The lack of the symbol thing. Just spitting out so much stuff that didn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
So what was I supposed to think? You know?
Names. People who spit out 15 names.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what? People who ask questions, I have had one of the strict rules that we have here at the Academy is that there's no conversational reading. You do not talk to the sitter. You don't talk to the client. When you're a reader, you act like they're not even there in the chair. You give them the information, but you don't ask them to confirm it, and you don't pay attention to their body language, and you don't wait to see if they give feedback in any way so that you feed it more.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do any of that. Those were the bad readings.
I think something, and I like that we're talking about the training a lot, because I have a family member who feels like, well, you have to be trained for it, so that proves that it's not real, because why would you have to be trained for it? And I'm like, well, you have to be trained for everything in life. I mean, and you have to learn it, just like any other language, but how many things are you born with that you're just like right off the bat, amazing? Like, there's not a lot of Beethovens out there. Like, you know, that's the few that come out that way. So it's like anything else, you know, what makes you a star basketball player, a star football player? Practice and playing since you were like 3 years old. That's what does it. And so this isn't like anything else.
Right.
I think that's important to throw that in there.
All humans are manipulated by the spirit world, whether they identify it or not. They are being manipulated. And we are all susceptible to being manipulated by lower negative energies who would create arguments like that to suppress the good. Who would say, if you're not born able to give a full amazing reading that everyone can understand, and you're not the real deal. There's no language here. There's nothing to learn here. This is natural. So there are people that are being influenced to suppress the movement and the growth of the light. And then there are other people who just go with the flow. They understand. And I need to work on it. Everyone needs to perfect their craft. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the bad readings that I had were also, I want to say, things that people told me that really weren't going to happen necessarily, but I thought that they were. So there are a lot of readers out there who don't look into the difference between what is a free will, future possibility, versus what is a destiny charted exact occurrence that's going to happen no matter what. And that makes all the difference in the world.
And they probably don't even know that they can look at it like that.
No, I don't think they do.
Well, they need to know these things.
Well, they didn't train for it.
Right, exactly. All that's the training.
Well, that's true. I feel like there are multiple ways to give readings. Like, we all do it differently and have different strengths. So I feel like the training portion gives me another way to look at things. Like, so I feel like it's kind of like, I always say, like, dreams of premonitions and angel work is my first language to them. Looking at half lives and stuff like that is stuff that I've learned how to do to kind of enhance it. Because I feel like there is still a wall sometimes. Like, I can look at the past life, but if I didn't know how that relates right now, then it's not really helpful to past life.
Exactly. I would say this too. That, you know, the other major thing that was a disappointment in some of my readings I received was how shallow they were when they were supposedly channeling my loved ones. I felt really disappointed with that. I don't want to hear that there's my grandmother there stirring a pot with an apron on who's proud of me. Like,
she just wants to say she loves you.
She just loves you. She traveled the cosmos to show me that she bakes. You know, to show you, to remind you that she cooks. That it felt inauthentic. And while we can't force spirit to say something specific or give a password or tell the nickname that they used to call you by or bring up one thing you want them to say. Well, we can't force that. We can pull evidential mediumship. Mm-hmm. And when people are working from a real shallow level, they don't pull any evidential mediumship. It doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah. So I felt empty after a lot of readings.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's interesting. Or kind of like it builds your hopes up for something and then that doesn't happen.
Right. So you don't heal.
Yeah,
you don't get the healing.
And then you give the whole thing gets a bad rep, you know.
It does.
Because then you tell everybody.
Because from one bad psychic, not everybody's bad. And it's really just a training issue, not that they can't do what they say they can do. It's just training.
And I feel like it doesn't even need to be, like, formal training, but with anything that you do, like, I read books outside of here. Like, you should want to know more and have that information. So it's not like, I mean, you totally come here and do
it. What effort?
Right.
Putting in your own effort, like this still wouldn't be enough. You still have to go out and practice it, you know, and make it your own. Yeah, absolutely.
So he says, where does this power come from? Were you born with it, or did it develop over time?
This is a good one.
I like that question.
Yeah,
I'm going to like that one.
Because everyone thinks you have to be so special. Like, why would any of us be more special than any of the rest of us?
I was totally born special.
maybe the universe was broader here.
Right?
Yeah. We can't really argue that.
I think it is something that you're born with. My
son, but everybody.
Right. He's 9 now, and he just started saying, like, really random things. Like seeing things, not seeing things, and I always talk to angels, swore they were real, said were angels. When I was younger, I knew when things would happen, but that doesn't mean that this is the only way. Like, I'm not super real just because I was born able to do these things.
Right, but I think everybody is able to do them. Even if you have little experience with it in your life, but all of a sudden you develop an interest, you can still do it. You can still come in and you can train and you can become a psychic medium, or you can just heal in your life too.
So everybody has these different abilities, and we call them the clairs. And some people are able to hear spirits in their head. They would think it's their own thinking, their own voice. Some people are able to feel the spirits in their bodies. Everybody has something different. A lot of people are just very clairvoyant, so they have visions of things that are going to happen or that happen. And we tend to think that we're getting these spontaneously, and maybe they don't mean a whole heck of a lot. But those little pieces of data that you receive are symbolic of where your natural abilities are strong. And all we do in here is increase those abilities, and we take your weakest parts and we increase those too. Anybody is able to sit down and give a full reading just by going to that part of the brain where you sometimes just tap by accident. So now we're just going to do it on purpose. Absolutely. The first time I ever gave a reading, I didn't know I could do it. I had a medium who told me, sit down in a chair and open your mouth. Put someone across from you that you don't know at all. I was 15 years old. I didn't know that just because I had premonitions or I could, you know, channel the dead, I didn't know that I could sit there and do it. And I did it for 45 minutes with no training. So anybody can, but we are different in the way that we do it.
Right. Everybody experiences different things.
With it,
but we all have these abilities. So.
We all.
Now I need to break that wall down. Like, everybody can do it.
And you know what? I almost feel like it's more common than you think. People
oh,
just
yeah.
are like,
oh, it
out
is.
Out. Like, you're just not out. Like, my husband was at a training, and this woman touched him, and all this information. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I'm on the verge of tears. Like,
mm-hmm.
she just touched me. She was like, this has never happened to me before. Like, I just had to tell you this. Like, they wouldn't let me walk away. So I think people just don't say it. Like, you know, if that phone rings, and you know who it is.
Yeah. People are channeling words of wisdom all the time that are coming from spirits, whether they be positive or negative, and we need to be taking responsibility for our energy and our ability to channel at all times. Normally, when you're channeling, you won't have any recognition of it. So, you know, we're overlooking it. We also have peak experiences that trigger our development. So, every 6 years, I say, or if you went under to have a tooth removed, you have a surgery, you have a tragic accident, someone in your circle dies, your dog dies, all of these things, a pregnancy, all of these things are going to increase your abilities all of a sudden, and then you think, oh, that's odd.
Yeah.
I knew more. That is time to train.
Maybe
yeah.
that's why women get so emotional, too, when
right.
they are pregnant, and, you know, people just like to blame the pregnancy, but it
that's
is.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
there you go.
Increasing.
And it never decreases. It only increases.
Yeah.
So we need to learn to manage the new energies.
It can get really, really fast.
Yeah.
okay, you want to take another call? Let's take another call. Hi, how are you?
Hi,
you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
I was wondering if you see a job for me coming up soon. I have an interview scheduled Thursday with a panel of different people.
I want to say that when I see you going in there, you want to really take a power, you want to take a power position. I feel like you're going to be a little bit bombarded by someone sitting almost like over to the, like the front of you, but to the left. I want to say that there's like a tendency of somebody to cut you off, and I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world for you to just kind of plow, you know, through that and be like, oh, I wasn't done, you know, or just don't. I feel like just push and say what it is that you have to say. Make sure you speak your piece. I do see value, that they would be finding value in you. For the position, but it also feels like you're potentially up against somebody else, and that's what it's really going to come down to. What are you guys getting with this?
I was feeling good about it automatically. I do feel like some competitiveness there, but I feel like she has an edge over this other person as long as she really goes into this. Well,
she's like almost thinking like that control position
yeah.
is what they're looking for.
Yeah,
like,
and
she's
yeah.
a really strong candidate, but it's like having that, like that's what they're looking for more. Like, so kind of how can we trigger? Is she going to be able to handle this under pressure? Like, almost like that's a part of
mm-hmm.
what they're looking for.
Yeah.
I feel like the other person too is a little complacent, but also like already there in some way. Like already has an in, maybe more so than what you do. But they're looking for you in terms of stability. You read louder. Your energy reads louder, and your long-term stability is stronger
mm-hmm.
than this other person. Just go in with a real go-getting type of an attitude, you know, almost in an obnoxious kind of a way if you need to.
I feel like they are looking for something more than that person. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be doing this. I feel like they are looking for, like, they know that this person is applying, but they're like, eh, there's something missing there that we want to see if we can find that. But I really feel like that's a big part of it. Okay.
So if this isn't the right opportunity for me, do you see something better coming up soon?
No, it sounds like this might work out for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Stay open. Keep going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling and have a good evening. Okay, we're going to take the next caller. Hi, can you hear me? We can't.
Yes.
Caller, are you there? Hello? Nope. Yeah? No.
Thanks very much.
Okay, I'm sorry, we lost that one. So you go in and like you're super excited to book your reading. Like, are there any like warnings that you should like anything that you walk in and see and you're like, oh God, maybe this person isn't really real? Like, can you tell right on the front end whether or not you're dealing with someone who is fake or not?
I would say that if they're paying too much attention to me, I start to immediately recoil and wonder why they're addressing me at all. Not that my energy is not important or that my empathic energy isn't a part of the reading, but if they're paying too much attention, it reminds me sometimes of somebody who wants to be your friend really, really bad, really, really fast. They want to level jump with you. That's always a problem. You know what I'm saying? There's always something wrong. So, I would start pulling back, and then usually what you start to see is that they spend a lot of time throughout the reading talking about themselves. So also somebody who talks too much from the get-go, they're talking too much about themselves. I don't know anything about my clients. My clients don't need to know anything about me. I won't remember that the experience happened. There's really no interaction going on there. Someone who stops periodically throughout their reading to talk about how the message is affecting their life or how they understand it, that's off base.
Mm-hmm. So with that, like, should your psychic ask you for anything beforehand?
What's your take on that?
I would say no. I mean, they don't need to ask you for anything. I mean, except maybe for what their name is. All you really need to know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I put the reading and we just set up my email, like, hey, I want to do a reading. She's like, come this day. This is the price, and then that was it. I never showed her anything. Of course, she knew my whole life. So I think that's kind of what we do here. Like, we get anything back on it, so I don't know anything. Or, like, I do a lot of favors, so I don't know you from the can of paint. So you kind of sit down and do it. Yeah.
Right. Some people ask maybe for your astrology sign.
Maybe if you want to make the person feel more comfortable as they walk in,
you can. You know, say, you know, start a little bit of conversation. How's the weather? You know, simple stuff like that. You know, maybe make a joke so they laugh. Just to make them feel comfortable as the psychic.
Because you can tell if somebody comes in.
Right. If you feel someone come in and they're really tense and you already feel like they're holding something in, try to get them to loosen up a bit because it's going to make the read easier too from a psychic point of view.
So I'm not sure if I understand your question, Cindy, but I'm going to read it, and then if I don't get it right, just repost it. It says, I guess I want to know what's happening with me. Negative energy burns me, just takes me down. So I guess I don't understand if you're talking about like being around negative people or
negative energy burns me and is taking me down.
I don't know if
negative energy.
Okay, I want to say that we all need to take responsibility for ourselves more than what we do. I am constantly, day in, day out, listening to people say, I'm affected by this, I'm struggling, and while I understand and I'm having a more than human experience here, I get it, but we have to take ownership of what we allow in. We have to learn how to block energy out more effectively, and we have to maintain that at all times. If you start to even feel a little bit like something is about to negatively affect you, cut it right there. you're going to have to shift your mindset so that you're not reflecting on negative things in your head that could potentially be attracting more negative energy. So you need to think of things in terms of energy. Like attracts like. Own that. Know that. Believe that. Trust in that at all times. I would recommend to, is it Cindy?
Yes.
A lecture I do here called Empathic Means. Empathic Means is also downloadable. You can attend. I think it's up on the Ivy League website. I don't know the date, but Ivy League Psychic Academy website has the date. Now, with Empathic Means, what you're learning is that it's beautiful that you're sensitive. It's beautiful that you're a healer and all of that. But when you are overly influenced by other people's negative energy, it will begin to cause disorders, anxiety disorders, depression, you know, ADD, a lot of other things, fibromyalgia, hypochondria, insomnia, headaches. It's too much. So learn to manage and control it.
So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
That answered somebody's question. I feel good about it. I think I understand what she's saying. It's like,
yeah.
it almost, the way she worded it too, is almost like she's so overwhelmed, question doesn't even sound like logical anymore.
Right.
That's from being overwhelmed by energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not all coming from her.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, Empathic Means is a great guy. So it looks like I'm not paying attention, but I love being able to now with the Facebook Live, like interact with people as I'm doing this. Like, it's
oh, okay.
Cool. I'm
excited
like, hey,
it's working. Oh. We have no idea. We're out of no man's land over here.
Right.
We're trusting you, Jen. You're the host.
We're trying to move it forward.
We have another one this way, though.
All right. Let's do another. Oh, we have a phone call. All right. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? This is Donna.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. My question is, I hope you can help me with this. I've been on eHarmony, and there's two guys. I've been emailing them both. We've been emailing back and forth. I like them both so far. I like their picture and everything. And I'm 63. They're both 68 years old. They don't have kids. I don't have kids. One lives in Hawaii. That's Greg. And another lives in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And his name is Walt. So there's Greg and Walt. Greg in Hawaii and Walt in Pennsylvania.
Okay. I'm feeling different things with both of them. Both are options. I don't feel like either one of them has a lot of resistance to exploring or taking this further. So you won't be dealing with baggage. Okay, emotional baggage and things here. I want to say that the one seems a little bit more high energy, high strung. I have a little trouble keeping his attention. He's talking about one thing and then he forgot what he was doing and he's talking about something else. He reminds me of Gemini. I don't know that you would always feel, I have you getting agitated with that. Okay, I have you being almost like more of a parent. You're like, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I don't feel like this person's investing in me. It's not that he won't come back around. It's just that he has to go dance around and then, like, he'll come back. So I don't think you could rule either one of these as being, maybe better than the other or uncaring, but there are definitely completely different personalities here. And it might cause for you to rule one out rather quickly. Okay, and I don't know
that
that's the best option. Yeah.
Now, Greg in Hawaii, I'm going to Hawaii December 7th, and it's the same little town on the Big Island. I'm going with my brother, and I'll meet him on the 13th. I'll be meeting Greg, but he's a pharmacist, yeah.
What do you
guys?
I was definitely feeling one of them was more stable than the other, and the other one I felt more emotional and high strong, like you said.
Yeah.
For that, yeah.
I agree that they both have potential. I do.
Yeah.
I feel like I like Greg a little bit more.
Yeah, but I was going to say, which one do you feel? Because I feel like
high strung.
Yeah.
High strung Greg. Because, you know, the thing is that what you're getting?
Are
you talking about the high strung one or the other one, the stable one? You're feeling more. This is, again, where it's a matter of opinion. Like, we can all have our opinions.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking thinking on this is that you need to examine more about your personality after you spend a little bit of time with them, because while you might feel frustrated, like, this one's not really listening, this one's too jumpy, this one's too flighty, I need somebody maybe a little bit more mature, stable, I would put money on it that when you do lock down into that stable thing, you get bored easily. I think you also have a lot of energy that it wouldn't be such a terrible thing to come out and play with. It's up to you.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there's something for her to learn there.
Which one?
With Greg, maybe. Yeah, he has a big sailboat and likes to kayak and sail and go in the ocean, and I like doing all that. And the other guy I'm thinking might be a little bit too conservative. I know he restores antiques and he works in risk management. So, yeah.
You're a little too wild maybe for that, you know, but they both have long-term potential. And you could grow in either relationship and really enjoy either relationship. So it's going to really be up to you. I wouldn't make a decision too quick.
Yeah. You might get him to break out of his shell too. The one that's more...
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you can break out of his shell a little bit.
A little more down to earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. So, Kathleen, this is one of the reasons why I said we should always do Facebook Live, because there are other parts of the show that you don't see. Like, somebody can sometimes call in and they're like, oh, my God, I love my husband, and we kind of look at each other like, oh, don't do it.
Yeah, you can see that facial expression.
Yeah, so you can see we do look at each other. Even our producers are, like, making faces like, don't do it. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we do here, too. So I think it's really cool that you can kind of look at our faces when we're doing it.
We'll find out.
And next time we'll flip the screen to the right side, too. So. I didn't explain
that we're on a tripod, so I can't turn around.
We're working it out. Listen, Rome was not built in a day.
Right. First try.
Okay, so let's take another caller. Hi, caller, are you there?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good. What's your question?
My question is if you see a love relationship coming in my future.
I want to say that I feel like I'm supposed to talk a little bit about being picky and a little bit about putting yourself out there in such a way that you seem really disconnected from the true experience. You maybe have a bit of a tendency to make up a little bit of a storyline about what's going on when you're interacting with these potential partners, and it isn't always authentic to what's happening between the two of you.
Yeah, it's getting
almost like romanticizing the experience, like wanting,
instead of living in the moment.
Right. Yeah. Like wanting this experience more than finding like the genuine connection in it. Almost.
Yeah. Like they could say something and it's almost like you didn't hear that at all. Mm-hmm. You just had an idea already of how they maybe would have answered a question like that. You know, or they're saying things, they're showing you things. So my interpretation of this is that as you go forward, it's important that you're really genuinely connecting with whoever you're interacting with. Really, I don't even want to say taking it slow, but just being aware of what's being said.
Okay.
And, we'll see you guys getting with that. Mm-hmm.
I feel like time.
Maybe that's the future because I haven't even met anybody yet, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all future, but that was the question, right? Like, coming up in love.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, as you go forward, that's going to be key in order to making it something sustainable. But those are the two things that I'm hearing is be in the present moment, be authentically connected. Don't just hear what you want to hear, hear what's in your head. Hear what the person is saying to you. Okay?
Okay.
And then be picky.
Okay.
Be picky. Okay? Good things coming, though. Anything?
Yeah, but I feel a little bit further out.
A little bit further out.
Yeah.
It could take a while to get through these lessons. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. The next 3 years, you'll be working on that. Okay, but it is coming. It's coming.
All right, thank you so much for calling in this evening. Okay. So I have a text question. So this lady wants to speak with Lula May, a deceased loved one, and just wants to know if she can tell her if she should find a new home.
What I'm hearing is don't hold yourself back. Feels like it's time to go forward. I don't know that it's time to go forward like Tuesday, but it's definitely not too far out. So it seems to me like you've already made this decision in a lot of ways, or you feel that you already know that this is the right direction to move in. So this is really confirmation on what you already know on that.
I'm not going to answer that question because it's my friend.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've said before.
Okay.
It sounds better when it comes from
yeah. somebody else. Let's let Rose give a third dose.
She keeps needing, you know, reassurance that this is the right thing. And she has to trust herself a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, so many people can tell you so many times. So it's like a confidence thing. Lesson for her is trust in yourself and do what you know you're supposed to do. You already kind of know that that's what you're supposed to do.
Trust your gut instinct and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. It says, I'm a friend of Barbara B, and I was wondering, being an indigo, what can I do to keep negative energy away from me in times of despair? Because I've been attacked many times, and as I'm going through a terrible breakup, how do I deflect the negative energy so that I don't get attacked again?
So somebody referring to themselves like, you know, star or indigo or this or that, it's all really breaking down, again, to empathic people. People who have empathic ability. And what we scientifically, medically know about this is that you are hypersensitive. And all that really means is that you could potentially overabsorb. So the same exact things that I said to the, I think it was Cindy, I would say to you, you need the empathic means lecture. Don't focus so much on the fact that there's like an indigo title put on this. Look at science. Look at medical perspectives on this. Learn how to properly maintain. It's not hard once we really open up.
Yeah.
Right?
It comes back down to our own control.
Yes.
Which we very much have, but we somehow don't believe that we have that. We don't think we have any control, and we do.
We feel overwhelmingly
overwhelming. Yeah.
Like all this stuff is happening to me and I can't do anything about it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Yeah. So block.
Yeah. Get educated. Learn the technique through the empathic means lecture. Like I said earlier to someone else, it's downloadable. If you can't get in here, it's already up on the Ivy League Psychic Academy website. The thing is this though too. You have to maintain it for weeks and months before you start to naturally do it and use the techniques, and they just come up on their own. It will become involuntary, but not right away.
Hi, Stephanie. Oh, Kathleen says she's an empathic healer. I feel like empath is a big word. Like, we should have, like, an empath show.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, it's all energy.
I've had about 5 years of empath. It is. It's all breaking down to that.
Really is. Like, energy, what you do with it.
Where we
use it.
Where we are in our society right now. People want to get well. People are sick of being sick. They're sick of popping pills. They're sick of not having the answers. Being susceptible. Being a victim. Being a great healer, but you can't utilize that and heal the world. We're all trapped. We have to get out.
Hi, Melissa. I miss you. I haven't seen you forever. do we have another call waiting? Nope. Okay. I'm going to ask my question, our last question. What should you look for? Like, how do you pick a psychic? How do you know who you want to go see? You should totally come and see us. Let's just say that.
I don't have to look too far. Luckily, how do you pick?
Well, I think what's really important is when we get a psychic, when we get a psychic fair, how do we have them pick? We let them look at all of our bios and our pictures, and you go with your intuition. Go with that person that you feel a connection to when you see them, because that is spirit and your flexibility, helping you find the person that's going to give you the best reading for you. And we all said to some people, like, you know, we had someone when we just did the psychic fair last weekend, and someone came in, and I heard in my head, you know, this one's yours. I'm like, I knew she was going to come.
Got
to
off.
You did the same thing. Yeah. And it went great. I mean, there's very much something to be said for that, and we don't pick them for you because of that. Like, let yourself be drawn to someone.
Because that's tend to be something that builds out of it, too. It's like, oh, I want to, I don't want to wait, maybe not, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. If you really feel like, this person, I really feel like.
If you're drawn,
yeah,
drawn to
them. Right.
I was told to, when I was going to look at the list of psychics, and then whichever game popped out to you first,
mm-hmm.
is where you should go.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't have pictures or bios.
I
have
a picture.
Yeah.
Like, for anything I do, I need to see your face. If I can't see your face on your website, then I'm not.
Eyes tell a lot.
Yeah.
They do. The facial expression tells a lot. Someone who's, like, rigid or, you know, you could feel like if there's something.
An awkward smile.
Something just inauthentic. It does read in people's faces. Yeah, for sure.
I do take pictures of myself.
Well, I know. I take pictures of myself, too. But, you know,
something is awkward in making that one.
Hey, it's not tough. We've got to have something authentic going on, you know. There's this. I want to say that when I'm looking at the students in here, I can tell who has integrity. So you can feel integrity a mile away, someone who's not going to back down. You can feel who is probably going to be accurate, or in some, even if you have to work at understanding them a little bit, that they're still going to be accurate because they have enough integrity to authentically be honest about what they're getting.
Right.
And that's even the young students that are on fire with that. That's who I want to be read by. And my biggest thing is that I want to go to somebody who's going to blow sunshine off my rear end and tell me rainbows and butterflies. I want the real deal. I want honesty. And too many times I've watched, you know, clients go over to another reader in town because they'll give them rainbows and butterflies. And you can tell when you walk up, you should not be going into a reading wanting to hear what you want to hear. You should be going into a reading wanting to hear the truth. And if you're with a true light worker, they will give you what you need, not just what you want. So
yeah.
I definitely don't want fluff. I know that.
That was like an awesome note to end the show on.
Like, I love the fluff.
It's so cool. So I hope you enjoyed my interaction with you on Facebook Live. If not, tell me, and then I won't do it again. I'll put somebody else in charge. but thank you to my two lovely guests tonight.
Thank you.
So Ivy is on Facebook everywhere. You want to give them your contact information?
Yeah, if you want to, I'm running my holiday special right now. So if you want to book a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Ivy Rivera. You can also go to ivyriverapsychicmedium.com to book.
I will make sure I will have pizza for you next time, I promise. I will have pizza here so you can watch us have pizza. Rose, I'll give you my juice.
I'm also on Facebook as The Happy Healer, and you can reach me here anytime. I'm going to be doing these walk-ins, and I'm also going to have an office here.
I'm a mystery woman, so you really won't be able to find me anymore. no, but you can. I'll always stop here, stop me on Facebook. But no, I'll be here in the academy, so you can always contact me that way too. I'm going to be sharing an office with Rose, so I'm super excited about that. So that's it for the evening. I'm so happy to have you guys tonight.
Yeah.
Our next show is going to be in 2 weeks on Sunday, December 10th at 8:00, right here on Ask the Medium Talk Show Radio. So you're going to be. It yells at me if I don't talk fast enough.
Yeah.
but we're going to be having live videos and then on the internet again with the radio. So hopefully it will be more accessible to you because we really want to have that kind of interaction.
Yeah.
As we're doing it, we want it to be live and authentic. So thank you so much for listening. And always here at Ivy League Psychic Academy, we are raising up the next generation of light workers. Have a great night.